So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, King Paranjana goes to the forest to hunt, text 24. Tasmin dadena tamamaham tavavirya patni. Yon yatra basura kulat kritap kilvishastam. Pashena vita vayam udmit unmuditam trilokyam. Anyatra vaimura ripur itaratra dasat. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O hero's wife, kindly tell me, if someone has offended you, I am prepared to give such a person punishment as long as he does not belong to the Brahmin caste. But for the servant of Murari Ripu Krishna, I excuse no one within or beyond these three worlds. No one can move freely after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him. Please repeat, O hero's wife, kindly tell me if someone has offended you. I am prepared to give such a person punishment. As long as he does not belong to the Brahmana caste. But for the servant of Murari-pu, Krishna, I excuse no one within or beyond these three worlds. No one can move freely after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him. Purport. According to Vedic civilization, a Brahmana or one who is properly qualified to understand the Absolute Truth, that is, one belonging to the most intelligent social order, as well as a devotee of Lord Krishna, who is known as Muradvisha, enemy of a demon named Mora, is not subject to the rules and regulations of the state. In other words, on breaking the laws of the state, everyone can be punished by the government except the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Brahmanas and Vaishnavas never transgress the laws of the state or the laws of nature, because they know perfectly well the resultant reactions caused by such law-breaking. Even though they may sometimes appear to violate the laws, they are not to be punished by the king. This instruction was given to King Prachinibarhishat by Narada Muni. King Paranjana was a representative of King Prachinibarhishat. And Narada Muni was reminding King Prachinibarhishat of his forefather Maharaj Prithu, who never chastised a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. One's pure intelligence or pure Krishna consciousness becomes polluted by material activities. Pure consciousness can be revived by the process of sacrifice, charity, pious activities, etc. But one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmana or a Vaishnava is very difficult to revive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described the Vaishnava aparad, or offense to a Brahman, as the mad elephant offense. One should be very careful not to offend a Vaishnava or a Brahman. Even the great yogi Duravasa was harassed by the Sudarsan Chakra when he offended the Vaishnav Maharaj Ambarish, who was neither a Brahmana nor a sannyasi, but an ordinary householder. Maharaj Ambarish was a Vaishnav, and consequently Durvasa Muni was chastised. The conclusion is that if Krishna consciousness is covered by material sins, one can eliminate the sins simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But if one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmin or a Vaishnav, one cannot revive it until one properly atones for the sin by pleasing the offended Vaishnav or Brahmana. This was the course that Durvasa Muni had to follow, for he surrendered unto Maharaj Ambarish. A Vaishnava aparad cannot be atoned for by any other means other than begging the pardon of the offended Vaishnava. So the verse again. Tasmin dhe dhamamaham tavavirya patni yon yatra bhush bhusurav kulat krita kyavishastvam pashena vita bhayam ud unmuditam trilokyam anyatra vaimura ripur itaratra dasat. O hero's wife, kindly tell me if anyone has offended you. I am prepared to give such a person punishment as long as he does not belong to the Brahmana caste. For the servant of Muraripu Krishna, I excuse no one within or beyond these three worlds. No one can move freely after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamite Namane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Siddharane. Here is recommended that we don't offend Brahmins and Vaishnavas. I'm sure we've heard that before. But it's a little difficult to practice, because the material world is more or less a place of offenses. This is where we've come to offend everyone. And of course, we don't think we offend anyone, because we think, how could I offend anyone? Nice person like me, why would I offend anyone? But because people take offenses, therefore, sometimes it appears to them that I'm offending them, but I'm actually just trying to help them. But our main problem is, and which everything comes from, is Ishvaraham Hambogi Siddham Balavan Sukhi. We're imagining that I am the Lord, that I am the enjoyer, and that I am perfect. So this is all due to the qualities of the modes of material nature. And therefore, under the spell of the material nature, we imagine ourselves to be something that we're actually not. And in every stage in our imagination, we're committing offenses against someone. But if we want to get free from these offenses, especially we have to stop the offensive mentality against Vaishnavas and Brahmins. Because Krishna says, Taraka apratishta shutiya vibhina nasavarishira yasyana bhinam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katasapanta. Generally speaking, we don't mind arguing with everyone, because by such discussions we think we're making progress. Someone says their opinion, then we tell our opinion, and that goes on perpetually. Everyone has their opinion about everything. And even though our opinions are always changing, still we think our opinion is very valuable, and we keep on arguing it. But it is not that opinions have no value, but they're based upon very limited experience. The only experience that is actually valid ultimately is Krishna's experience, because he knows everything. Therefore, he has the most valuable opinion. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rishi bira bahudai gitam chandu bira vivitai prita chandu hetuma bira vinishita. He says that according to the sage's opinions and according to his opinion. So Krishna also has his opinion, but his opinion is better than our opinion. People can go on arguing perpetually and they won't reach a conclusion. On the other hand, we may even take shelter of scriptures, but there are so many scriptures and they are according to time, place, and circumstance. If you want to prove something, whatever you want to prove, you can find some scripture to prove it. You can even find a scripture to prove that you don't need scriptures to prove anything. And then there are so many sages, and they all have their opinion. And you can even find sages, practically every sage says everyone else is crazy except for them. Therefore, if we want to know what the truth is, and most people don't want to know what the truth is, they haven't come to the material world to find out the truth, they've come to the material world to avoid the truth. But if we actually want to find out what the truth is, and dharma-sya-tattvam nihitam guhayam, a self-realized soul, he understands the truth. He's understood it because he surrendered to the truth by surrendering to others who knew the truth or who know the truth. And what is the truth? Well, mahajano yena katasapanta, that we have to become servants of the mahajans. We have to become gopi bharata para kamalayor dasa dasa anudasa. We have to become servants of Krishna's servants. In the spiritual world, everyone is a servant. Everyone has the desire to simply love. Well, the spiritual world is that of unalloyed love. Everyone simply has the desire to please everyone else, including Krishna. The original desire is to please Krishna, and because one sees in the material world nothing but Krishna, in the sense that Krishna and his energies are all the same, qualitatively one, they all have the same nature, that of Satchitananda Vigraha, and that Ananda is that of unalloyed love, service. The problem is we can't serve anyone if we don't listen to them. We may, just like I had one assistant when I was in India, and whatever I said to him, just now, whatever I said to him, he's, yes, yes. But he didn't hear a word I said. So you could just watch whatever service he was doing. It was exactly the opposite of what I was saying. Don't bring milk tonight. Please don't bring milk. So of course there was plenty of milk that night. go to Finn Airways. Because I couldn't get on my flight in British Airways. So when I was going back to the airport, I said, go to Finn Airways. He said, yes, yes. He told the driver, you know. So then I asked him, where did I just say to go? British Airways. In other words, whatever I said didn't really count. It was whatever his mind was telling him that counted. I was just an interference. So the problem is we don't really want to listen to anyone. We want to listen to our mind because our mind tells us we're God. At least when our mind tells us we're God. You're the Lord. You're here to enjoy your senses. And no one should tell you anything else or else they're a demon. They're an offender against the supreme truth. The fools, they deride at me at my descending in this human-like form. So Krishna says, Machita Sarva Dorgani, Mat Prasada Tarishasi, Atatetvam Ahankaram, Nushoshisi Vinangshasi. If you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you do not act, but act through false ego, not hearing me, then you'll be lost. So this is the difference between our false ego. We have false ego and goodness, in passion and in ignorance. And ignorance is the most obvious offenses. Just like when Bhrigu was asked by the sages to find out who is the greatest personality, who is God. So he went up to Brahma, who's his father, and he simply started to more or less ignore him. Lord Brahma came And he more or less didn't pay any obeisances. He just disrespected him. So this was an offense within the mind. It was not appreciated by Brahma, but he tolerated. And then he offended Lord Shiva, his brother, by criticizing him. Don't get near me. You're dirty, full of ashes. Snakes crawling up and down you. Get out of here. Don't even touch me. So Lord Shiva became very disturbed, but he didn't kill him at least. And then he went up to Lord Vishnu and he kicked him in the chest. And Lord Vishnu tolerated it, got down from his bed, started to massage Bhrigu's feet, and said, "I hope, your poor foot was not hurt when it hit my chest. I know your foot is soft like a lotus flower, and my chest is hard like a thunderbolt, so I hope you didn't feel any pain when your foot touched my chest. I'm so fortunate that you've decided to put your lotus-like foot on my hard-like chest. Now it's become purified, and now the goddess of fortune, I'm sure, will be happy to live there perpetually, now that it's been sanctified by your foot." So this is the worst offense, corporal offense. So similarly, there are different degrees of offenses. There is offenses in the mode of ignorance, where we physically attack someone, and then there's the mode of passion, where we verbally attack them, and then there's the mental offenses, which are usually committed in the mode of goodness. And one is progressively worse than the other, but when we're in the mode of goodness, we think it's not an offense anymore. As a matter of fact, no one else thinks it's an offense. We think it's a benediction. But it's all due to lack of consciousness, of proper understanding. It's not seeing things properly, and therefore it's covering over our relationship with every living entity. One who's actually in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he's able to see externally how everything is part of Krishna's plan. He may see the modes of material nature working, but he understands they all work according to Krishna's plan, and he's able to adjust himself in such a way is to help everyone be more linked up with Krishna. And he sees internally that there's nothing but souls and Krishna going on, the relation between the soul and Krishna, and therefore he doesn't really see anyone as higher and lower. He sees simply living entities being bewildered by the modes of nature and therefore serving Krishna in different ways under the spell of the modes. But he only sees a relation with Krishna. Just as he has a relation with Krishna, he sees that every living entity also has their eternal relation with Krishna, and he respects them. And therefore he sees himself as Krishna's servant, and therefore is a servant of all living entities. He doesn't think himself better than any living entity, he thinks himself eternally the servant of all living entities. But under the modes of nature, we progressively become more and more offensive towards other living entities. But those who are liberated souls, they can explain to us perfectly well how to readjust our consciousness in order to properly relate to all living entities, so that we can have our proper relationship with them. But if we offend them, an offensive means that we don't listen to them. Of course, we go up and kick them, that's not a very good thing. And if we criticize them, that's also not very good. And if we ignore them, yes, 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 then that's not good either. Just like Shrutikirti Prabhu was saying, he'd sit in front of the class of Prabhupada when Prabhupada was giving class, and he'd sit there with a big smile on his face and his eyes open, but he would be asleep. He learned the art of sleeping during class with your eyes open. So that may be, obviously it's not as bad as falling asleep. Prabhupada wasn't disturbed when he saw someone with his eyes open didn't hear anything, but at least his eyes were open. But the problem is we won't be able to hear. And if we don't hear, we won't know what to do. And if we don't know what to do, we'll do the wrong thing. Because there's always something to do. Mind is going to tell us, according to our conditioned nature, what it wants us to do. But if we don't understand anything higher than what we're already conditioned by, we'll obviously do the wrong thing. We'll simply act in the modes of nature. And we'll continue with the same idea. Either I am this body, we already think like that, and I'm theoretically not the body, but I'm here to utilize the body to enjoy with. Just like in the fight between the demigods and the demons on the shore of the ocean of milk, they were so enthusiastic about fighting, they were so much enjoying the fighting, that even when some of them were killed, they just picked up their dead bodies and they continued on the fight with their dead bodies. So that's really enthusiasm. So even we find out we're not the body and we're a little convinced, still we think, well, let me utilize the body while I can to enjoy with it. And, all right, I'm not the body, I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer either, but at least I've agreed to surrender to Krishna, follow his instructions, and therefore at least I should take the credit for being the savior. That I'm the one who's helping so many living entities by repeating this philosophy. I'm the pure devotee. I'm the direct via media. No one comes, I'm the truth, the way, and the light. No one comes to Krishna except through me. So we may think ourselves to be the savior. So unless we're willing to hear from someone who's actually pure, who doesn't have these conceptions, we won't understand how to get free from these conceptions. Therefore it says a person who's bound up, he can't really help anyone else. Only one who's actually completely untied, he can actually help anyone else get completely free. Obviously, if we're trying to get free from the desire to lord it over the material nature, or the conception that I am the body and I'm the doer, then it's possible to get free from that from someone who's relatively transcended or surpassed that particular mentality. Similarly, to get free from the desire to enjoy, if someone is relatively more free from the desire to enjoy than I am, then by hearing from them, I can become free. But to become completely free, we have to hear from someone who's actually completely free themselves. But as soon as we don't want to listen to them, and we don't want to listen to someone because we don't think they have any quality that I want to inquire, we think that everything that this person knows about, everything this person has achieved, I've surpassed them many times, so why should I bother listening to them? It's a good time to fall asleep, get some rest. So therefore we think we have nothing to learn from them. The problem is under the spell of the modes of nature, we don't really think we have anything to learn from anyone. And even if we think we have something to learn from someone, then if we do listen to them, they can only take us so far if what they have to tell us is not the absolute truth. But someone who's actually come to give the supreme absolute truth, one who actually knows the absolute truth, his life is absorbed in the absolute truth, or those who are practically on the level of the absolute truth, if we offend them, if we neglect in some way, either by physically doing something to harm them, or by criticizing them, even subtly, trying to minimize their importance, physically doing something against them, for instance, Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was trying to get land in Mayapur, then some of his godbrothers were actually working against him, trying to prevent him from getting land. So this is quite an offense. And others were going around criticizing him, that why is he taking this title Prabhupada, etc. And some of them, they were not criticizing him, they weren't working against him, but they didn't really appreciate fully what he was doing, nor did they completely try to cooperate with him. So, to some extent, they, because of that, their missions were unsuccessful. Because not only Prabhupada, but also their own spiritual master, they had the same attitude towards. They simply didn't change it. Therefore, the conclusion is that especially if someone's more advanced than we do, than we are, especially if one is actually a Brahmin or a Vaishnav, we should try to cooperate with them. We should try to hear from them what they have to tell us and try to do the best we can cooperate with their instructions. What to speak of Prabhupada or someone on his level, then certainly it would be disastrous to not try to pay attention at least. It's not that we can pay attention completely, that we simply have to make an effort to do the best we can. When Prabhupada was giving class, for instance, we find that many of the devotees were surrounding his Vyasa-san. If you watch the movies, you can see that. So they weren't the guards of Prabhupada, by the way. They were the ones who were falling asleep during class, that the temple commander would come around and squirt with a gun and tell them to stand up. So they got the honor to stand around Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. So Prabhupada didn't have to look at them falling asleep. So it is not that they had an opportunity, and therefore, although they were falling asleep, that they were doing something so bad, because it was obviously they were doing something right by just being there and getting the opportunity to listen. But they couldn't take full advantage of it. But at least they should take some advantage of it. But we should become conscious of what our offenses are, and therefore avoid them so we can learn how to hear from especially the devotees, or those who are inspiring to become devotees. So we can hear from them, learn how to enter into the proper mood, so eventually our relationships with all living entities will come to the platform of prema. Our relation with Krishna will come to the platform of prema, or real love, and our relation with all living entities will come to the platform of real love. And by doing that, gradually we give up this desire to control the material nature, that is acting independently from Krishna's desires, and this desire to enjoy the material nature, the same thing, and this idea that we're somehow or another doing anything without simply being an instrument for Krishna, either for Krishna, one of his energies, either the internal or the external energy. So by doing that, we can actually do good for ourselves, and then therefore do good for others. So of course, the topmost Vaishnav, he gives us the topmost advice, so we can learn how to relate to all living entities. But even we offend any living entity in this world, even they may not be a Brahmin or Vaishnav, to some extent our love will also be checked. That simply means we haven't heard properly or sufficiently from the Brahmin and Vaishnav, and therefore we continue our offensive mentality to other living entities also, rather than either trying to help them by serving them to become Krishna conscious, assisting them in their mission in life, which is become Krishna conscious. Even though they may not know what their mission of life is, but those who are enlightened, they know that everyone's mission in life ultimately is to become Krishna conscious. But if we're not so much expert at doing that, helping people in that mission, to those who are sincerely atheistic, or come here to avoid Krishna at all means, then we simply try to become aloof from them. We try to avoid them. And those who are innocent, we try to assist them, remind them of what their mission of life is. And for those who are devotees, we try to cooperate with them to spread the Sankirtan movement. And for those who are more elevated, we try to serve them as if they were actually representatives of Krishna completely. Just as we try to serve and love the deity, therefore we try to serve those and appreciate those who are more elevated than we are. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you spoke earlier about making offenses against the Vaishnavas. What about, say, before we came to Krishna consciousness, and what inconveniences we caused just the common man and non-devotees? What importance should we put on trying to rectify those offenses?
Well, I guess the idea we should put some importance on it. But it is said that by chanting Hare Krishna by rectifying our relation with Krishna, then naturally we'll rectify our relation with other living entities also. But the only way we can rectify our relation with Krishna is by rectifying a relationship with the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Therefore, we have to put more importance to that, and therefore, by doing that, we should also rectify our relationship with all other living entities too. Not that I've had a perfect now I have a nice relationship with Krishna, and I don't care a fig about anyone else, including the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Or now I have a perfect relation with Krishna and the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and now I'm free to offend everyone else. That's not the way reality works, at least. Chant Hare Krishna loudly. Change our consciousness, that's one thing. Usually when we offend someone, they're the archetypal object of our offense. In other words, it's not that we hate anyone particularly. We hate a particular idea, a particular mode of nature or something. And therefore that particular person that we offended simply was representing that. Just like men and women. For a man, if he's very lusty, he sees every lady as beautiful, not any particular lady. They all become very beautiful. Similarly, a lady similarly may see all men as strong and handsome, whatever. But if the lust goes away, then everything changes. So similarly, we've offended a particular object, but that was a conception. If we change that conception, then the offense also goes away. Anything else? Yes. Oh, I'll just give an example, just like Prashadra. Prashadra, he was guarding the cows. This is Treta Yuga. It was low tech at that time. They didn't have any surveillance equipment or anything. He was the son of Manu, actually. But he was a Kshatriya in Treta Yuga. So his job was stand with a sword and look after the cows at night, protect them from the tigers. But one moonless night, one tiger came to, and the cows started to moo, and he got out his sword. And he heard a sound, he swung his sword and he thought he had killed the tiger. But actually, he cut off the head of the cow and just nicked the ears and the nose of the tiger, so the tiger ran away. The next morning, Vashishtha Muni, his spiritual master, came and saw that he had killed a cow, and he considered it a serious offense. So he cursed Prashadra to become a Shudra in his next lifetime, considered not very good in Treta Yuga. Therefore, Prashadra, he went into the forest, became perfectly Krishna conscious, and therefore went back to Godhead and avoided the offense of becoming a Shudra in his next lifetime. Now, if he didn't go back to Godhead, the offense would have taken effect. Therefore, we should go back to Godhead, and whatever problem we had with other living entities, we won't have to worry about. What's that? Oh, yeah, I guess so. But then you'd probably have a nice relation with the cow, too. Because he would have had to forgive you for... So forgive, you know, if you're disturbed at someone doing something to you, that's also an offense. So the cow would have had to forgive Prashadra and to go back to Godhead, and therefore they would have had a nice relationship there. Anything else? Yes. No, it didn't say that. It says you don't get an immediate reaction from it. Doesn't say it doesn't count. Going around offending everyone. Prabhu, you look like you seem quite angry, but I may look angry, but I'm not doing anything bad yet. It has an effect. It has an effect. Eventually, you keep on speculating, you're going to do something. Yeah, of course, it's an offense, but it doesn't give you an immediate karmic reaction. That's all. It's not. There's a difference between getting a reaction and being offensive. I hate you. I hate you. No, it's offensive. Offensive mentality, even speculation. I'm the Lord. Therefore, Krishna says, Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasa smaran indyartha vimudatma mityatras uchite. One who controls his senses and active organs of action, but his mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Charlatan. So, unless we correct our mentality, we're not going anywhere. We may not be externally offensive, we may not get a severe reaction for our sinful activities, whatever we were thinking about. But it's an offensive mentality, and we're stuck. We're not going anywhere in Krishna consciousness. We're stuck with that offensive mentality. Therefore, we're going to have to come back, and probably in our next lifetime, we'll commit all the offenses we're thinking about. We're just getting ready for our next life, that's all. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.